1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Bob and Brian, time to talk music news with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. Or is it to get better because I'm on or because we were talking about beer off the air?
Just a side note to the larger audience. We, for some reason, started watching Hamm's beer commercials.
Early in the show today because I didn't remember.
During our time
I didn't recall a Hamm's commercial that Brian was referring to. He goes, oh, here, I'll find it. I said, no, don't. We'll just get sidetracked.
All right.
And he just went down the beer hole there.
We did.
The bear hole.
We did. And he showed me, I went, oh, and then he asked Gary, do you remember these commercials? And Gary goes, yeah.
The guy with the bear, the walking stick and the bear.
Yeah. All right. Hey, right out of the box, usually we work off your list because we're horrible disc jockeys and we need help doing our jobs, and Gary sends it every week. Earlier in the week, we had a story about Phil Collins. He got divorced from his second, third, whatever wife, and forked over $25 million, and somehow he wound up giving her another $43 million
for
something.
Yeah.
And they were living together and they had this like arrangement where, okay, let's not get married again. We're living together. She goes off to Las Vegas, gets married, moves, comes back home, and now won't get out of his house, and he wants her out, right? Carrie, is that, did I cover everything?
That's my understanding of the whole thing. it's mind boggling. I mean, this is like, you know, didn't she ever listen to In the Air Tonight? And, you know, if she did, she should perhaps stay away from water.
Yeah.
At this point.
But there was another, there was a line in the story that we just had on Phil Collins, and it was, he said, not another dime.
Well, no, you're already into the tune of $73 million by my count.
Yeah, I mean, she should have enough to live on.
And now she won't leave the house that they're sharing.
House is on water, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to bring it.
It's in Miami.
Yeah, they live in Florida. Yeah, it's, and, you know, well, I think, and, you know, this I'm not 100% sure of, but I think it was her house that she got with his money, but that he moved into when they kind of reconciled and decided, you know, we're going to live. I don't know. Is this uncoupled? Is this consciously uncoupling or consciously coupling or, you know, whatever you term this relationship, basically living under the same roof.
Phil just not paying attention? Because before you marry somebody, you would date them a couple of times, right? So Phil didn't even know she had a boyfriend, much less she flies off to Las Vegas.
Well, why doesn't she fly off to Las Vegas and live with her new husband?
You know what? As bizarre as this thing is, Phil may well have known. If not, it's an abject lesson in why you don't go on tour again, maybe. Because this is what In the Air Tonight was written about. He was on tour with Genesis, and his first wife started an affair.
Jill, right?
Jill.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. The romantic tumult of Phil Collins is its own epic.
Is he just bad at relationships, Gary?
Seriously. I think what it is he is, it's hard to say now because he's not working like he used to. Back in the day, he was very good at work. And being good at work prevented him from being good at relationships.
But he said he did.
She got $46.76 million in their divorce settlement, then went off with another man, squandered her investment, and I guess had to give the guy that she met after Phil half of that money when she divorced that guy.
You know, I do question some of these figures. I mean, this all, you know, Phil's done really well. There's no question about that. But these figures sound a little inflated. Nevertheless, you know, I don't know. Let's buy the guy a nice inflatable doll and be done with it here.
But Phil said when he started his second family, he said, I'm not going to make the same mistakes that I made with my first family.
He said that with his third family, too.
We're on to a third, okay.
Did you detect a pattern here?
Because I saw him saying that, you've seen the documentary One in Paris, right? The Genesis thing?
Yeah.
And he talks about that, I'm leaving. I'm not, have to get home. I promised my family I'd be home. He was really staying on point with not letting the band consume him, remember?
Yep.
When they were in rehearsal, he said, no, I'm going home. I don't have time for this. I have to go. He was doing interviews, I think, radio interviews.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I've talked to him, as you know, a number of times over the years, and we've had this discussion. And you know, a general sweeping statement when it comes to rock stars, politicians, and athletes, don't believe them. You know, it's nice what they say, and I'm sure they all have the best of intentions, but you get into that jet stream of what your lifestyle is and the way you conduct yourself, and it's very few of them seem to really pull out of it.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right. There are some other topics that we need to discuss. This would have been pretty cool. Van Halen was planning a farewell tour.
Yeah, Irving Azoff has been talking a little bit about, he was the band's manager, has been the band's manager recently. And so he's been talking about things in the wake of Eddie Van Halen's death, including last week he was talking about music that might be in the vault. This week he revealed that there were plans afoot for a farewell stadium tour last year for Van Halen, which would have included opening acts Metallica and Foo Fighters. That would have been fun. But basically, at no point of the planning was Eddie in good enough shape to commit to the tour.
How long has Irving been Van Halen's manager?
Probably forever, just the way that stuff works. He's probably had a hand in them for quite a long time. But my guess is, you know, within the past decade, I know he was managing them when David Lee Roth came back into the band. That was part of what brought it all back together, because he does have that gift for bringing difficult bands back together. Evidence the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac.
I think he's just patient.
He's patient. He does know how to navigate the personalities, apparently. And he also, more than anything else, he knows how to accumulate the money that makes these people take notice.
And that got him into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this time around, right?
It is. You know, when it happens, November 7th on HBO, not in person.
What did David Crosby say about Van Halen?
You know, actually not much, but enough to get him in trouble, basically. He was, you know, he has an open dialogue with his fans and other people, you know, on Twitter, and somebody asked him what he thought about Eddie Van Halen, not what he thought about Eddie Van Halen dying, but just asked him if he had any thoughts about Eddie Van Halen, and David Crosby's tweet back was, meh. David being David, at least claims that he had forgotten when he was answering the tweet that Eddie had died. And so he thought he was just talking about his thoughts about him as a guitarist. And, you know, even that being, okay, questionable at best, you know, he went on to say in the first exchange that, you know, for him, Hendrix was the do-all and be-all and end-all, and that anybody who came after, you know, just didn't rank. He took a lot of backlash, heavy backlash for just saying meh. And so he came out this week with another tweet saying, you know, apologizing, you know, saying no offense intended. I do make mistakes, you know, and then did note that the Van Halen fans were a pretty dedicated breed, because he had heard from a lot of them.
I think I've heard from every Van Halen fan there is. Now, in David Crosby's defense, and it's not much of a defense, he's been a jerk his whole life.
He has been.
No, he has. He admits it. He goes, I'm a jerk in a band. I'm that guy.
Yeah.
I've seen him say it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he is. And, you know, and he's been affected by the things he's done to himself over the years. So yeah, he may have pulled a brain fart here and genuinely forgotten that Eddie Van Halen had died. Really? I don't know.
He's in the music world.
Well, he's old and...
Really?
You know.
All right.
There were drugs.
You know, I'll accept his apology, but be skeptical about his explanation.
Because you just said they say things, they're nice things, but don't believe them.
Right.
You just said that when you were talking about
Phil Collins.
Phil Collins, right. So.
Yeah, so, you know, but it was a nice little dust up, and we'll see if it smooths over now that David's backpedaled.
Okay.
What do you want him to do? He put that out there. He said, no, oh, yeah. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah.
That's
all you can do.
I'm not going to waste a lot of time or
move on from it. You probably, if you were attacking him, you're probably not a David Crosby fan anyway, because, you know, I don't know. Yes, you can have broad musical taste, but you're probably like, if you're a Van Halen fan, my bet is you like Neil Young and Stephen Stills better.
Okay.
from that crowd.
Why not?
Yeah.
Speaking of, we were talking about ex-wives with Phil Collins and the whole house thing. Elton John settles a lawsuit filed by his ex-wife. They haven't been married for 40, 35 years?
No, they haven't. And we were, we had talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago. But, you know, he publishes his autobiography and did the film. And she sued him, saying that by including references to her in both of those projects, he broke their divorce agreement. That he wasn't going to talk about her and she wasn't going to talk about him. And it had held for, nearly 40 years. But then this comes out, so she sues him for £3 million, which I think is like $4 million. And they announced this week, that they issued a joint statement saying that they've resolved the case, in a way that acknowledges the ex-wife's need for privacy. For her part, she acknowledges that Elton acted in a dignified and respectful way towards her in the last 30 years, was always happy to help, and from here on, they will not discuss each other or their marriage in the future, and that's binding. Of course, the initial agreement was binding, but Elton broke it, So, they're...
Specifically, or was it just, something in a song that...
generalization, a
sounded like
homogenized.
It was direct and in some cases specific references to her, especially in the book. The movie made kind of a cursory.
Okay.
She wasn't a big part of the movie, but it did make specific references to the marriage and the breakdown therein and what a sham the marriage was.
What for $1, Gary, what was her name?
I'm Renee Belal.
I owe
you and a dollar. I probably didn't pronounce it.
Do you have a Venmo account? I'll send it to you.
Thank you. I'll take care. I think that one. I think a dollar you can flip through the mail.
So then, what are Rod Stewart and Elton John fighting about?
Oh yeah, this is funny. I mean, these guys have been, they've had this kind of relationship for years and years. But I guess it's been kind of deepening, and there's been a long period of silence between them. Elton just published a paperback version of the memoir, in case you wondered where he got the money to pay his ex-wife but he added another chapter where he talked a little more about what's happened recently, and he said a lot of the breakdown came over the so when Elton announced his farewell tour, Rod was out there publicly dissing it, saying it's not very rock and roll to announce a farewell tour, and Elton's contention is, I don't want to be lectured about what's rock and roll from a guy who spent a decade singing the Great American Songbook.
Well, and then
he did it really well.
Rod
though.
Stewart popped off about Elton's farewell tour when there's been a million other farewell tours out there.
Well, exactly, including Rod Stewart farewell tour.
Bands have made a living on farewell tours. Like the Eagles mocked it and said, "This is farewell tour number one."
Yeah,
know, Ozzy and Kiss. They've all done it. So apparently that's the crux of the latest schism between the two. Elton was also ticked off because he said that he sent Rod a text saying that, come on, we've known each other too long to fall out over something like this, and never heard back. But Elton did get a text from Rod's manager saying that Rod's not able to speak on the phone because he's on constant vocal rest between shows, and Elton said, yeah, constant vocal rest except when he's on talk shows.
That's not letting it go, Elton.
No, oh no.
That's not so, rising above Elton.
And I guess, like in the last week or two, Rod was interviewed about it and asked about it and saying that, he said it was sad. He claimed that he sent an email to Elton that got ignored, and the interviewer said, well, why don't you just pick up the phone and call him? And Rod said, let me think about it.
All right, time for Gary's Superstar Showdown. What's Rod Stewart's best song?
Ooh,
ever. Ever.
Wow. I mean,
because he's recorded a lot.
Yeah. I should have a quick answer to this, but...
We didn't rehearse this.
I've always been partial to Cindy, incidentally, from The Faces.
Okay. Elton John's best song.
Elton John's best song is Grey Seal.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
You don't get to disagree with it.
What version?
Just take it.
What version? The one off of, because he did an early version
I like the one off Yellow Brick Road.
Okay.
As much as I'd love to cite one off some obscure bootleg right now.
I will one-up you for a favorite Elton John song. It's either Roy Rogers.
Which is a great one.
Great song. Or or the cowboy song from "Don't Shoot Me, I'm Only the Piano Player."
That's an excellent one. My backup on Elton is "Where to Now, St. Peter," which I always liked a lot.
Brian, best Elton John song.
I don't know. I'm not deep in the albums like you guys are. Like Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
That's fine.
And that's a good song.
A whole lot of copies.
It's funny, you think about, you know, every now and then I do sit back and I think about these guys and that kind of question, and it's like, holy crap, did they do a lot of great songs.
Right, exactly.
You know, how did they really makes you respect, you know.
When we were doing Van Halen, we were playing nothing but Van Halen songs for our music beds the day after Eddie passed away.
Uh-huh.
I was like blown away by all of these songs.
There's an impressive, they were songwriters.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Let's talk about a proper gentleman, Jeff Lynne.
Okay.
Everybody likes Jeff Lynne, right?
He's the same too.
Yeah.
He
seems very affable.
And now so does the Queen of England. He is finally getting, I guess it's been a thing in England where they, you know, they do the list of, okay, who hasn't gotten one of the royal honors, and he's been near the top of the list. It's now been revealed that he will get an OBE, a member of the Order of the British Empire, as part of the Queen's birthday honors list. I haven't seen a list of or a notification of when he'll actually show up at the palace to have. I don't think you get the sword for an OBE. I think that you have to be a knight to get the sword. But you know, there is a presentation, so that'll happen theoretically sometime soon. Whenever he can travel, you know, England's locking down again. I don't know. Maybe they mail them.
just a member, but not a knight.
A virtual. No, he's a member of the order, and then from there you go up to, I think there's one more, and then it's knighthood.
Is that designated on your driver's license or anything? Like, if I get pulled over, do I go, hey,
I don't think so. But you get this little, you know, it's like a convenient, almost pocket-sized certificate. So if you do go to a restaurant and they say, sorry, no tables,
hey,
you whip out the OBE.
Well,
and
you
then,
get to put
and
it,
then they look at it and say, yeah, but you're not a knight. So
you get to put it after your initials, like an MD or a PhD. You get
right.
To, you know,
oh, yeah, no, you do.
Like Esquire, you get to put that after your name.
Yeah, so. No, that's part of it. So, you know, good on him. It does, you know, when I was talking to Rob Halford about his memoir, we got to talking about the royal honors and stuff because he writes in the book about being at a reception with the Queen. And he said, don't let anybody tell you differently. You know, they may pose as revolutionaries and contrarians. They said, if the Queen wants to give you an honor, you go there on your knees like a hungry puppy. Because you were born, you know, especially artists of that generation, you were born and raised with the real monarchy. It wasn't the, you know, the crazy monarchy now. It was the monarchy with a capital T and a capital M.
All right, quickly and finally,
sure,
before we wrap this up, she's not getting nothing from the Queen. Brittany, what kind of week did she have?
She had it well. If you're following, as we are, her you know, her conservatorship battle, she had a pretty good week. She got the court to agree to her petition to expand her legal team, her conservator team, which means she can bring other people in to run the Britney Spears conservatorship. This is all an effort to oust her father as a co-conservator and get other people in. So she and her legal team are hoping this is the first step in, you know, basically bringing in enough people to vote Jamie Spears off the island.
Wow. You have a board of conservators. You are really messed up.
There's a lot of people who need that
probably people who need it more than her.
Sure. They just don't have millions and millions of dollars.
That's what she got. So.
Oh, there's more talk about a Spice Girls reunion.
There is. This is from Mel C.
Yeah.
She says she's up for it. She just put out a solo album. So there will. There's too much money involved for them to not do it again.
All right.
Come
but,
on.
But, you know, you're not going to hear anything.
Posh
25th
is not
reunion.
Posh is not going to go slum it with those four other girls who need the check.
She won't, but the other four can still do it, and they can have pictures of Posh on the video.
Maybe being stuck at home in this giant, forever, never-ending lockdown will make her want to get out.
Okay, now I'm out. The kids,
right.
The kids, the husband who keeps banging the soccer ball against the wall.
Right, now get me out of here.
Yeah, maybe. All right,
Gary. Thanks, Gary.
Hey, Gary, I just need to know, if we do have another emergency topic like the Phil Collins thing, are you available?
I am. For you guys, I am always available, as you've seen from your text sometimes.
That's true. All right.
All right.
Anytime.
Good talking to you.
Have a great weekend.
Talk to you next Friday. Gary.